Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Thanks, Kate. Hector O'Hockagon, fall to Rotor Ashkadian show.
So the Gaeilge har Cian, Tosha Intach, friend on Vehan Shulat, Mass Morgul and Makadi and Posse, Connestatu.
Gama, I was too fain.
Listen to my calculator, talk up on tay, all in us, Mahoran show. I guess we on shocked and go hauling. Now, there's a good way to say even better than go hauling. Harkeen. Yeah. Once you say Harkeen, we on shocked and Harkeen, we on barbecue Harkeen, we on cliche Harkeen. That means absolute, we on Indian rare on takeaway, we Harkeen, Brendan.
Exceeded expectations, was it?
Unbelievable. Listen, I'm living the dream. I had the barbecue on 3 days in the middle of September in Galway, and I have a book out the same week. That's quality.
Yeah, that's a summer right there, Hector, in a three-day summer. So you're going to share with us your life in five songs, but the book, seeing as you've mentioned it. So it's a nice book, Irish Words You Should Know, right? I've been dipping into it more than I normally sit down and read them straight, but I've been dipping in and out. Lower Than Letters, I was thinking maybe, that people could be dipping into.
Yeah, it's important to have the right reading material close to you in times of need. It depends what toilet, Brendan. How many toilets do you have in the house? I prefer the utility toilet myself, or that would be more of my office. But it depends what part, where you leave the book and what part of the house you leave the book in. I would throw the book anywhere and I would have it wherever you need it. And it, as you say, it's a book to dip in and out of and hopefully bring people on an adventure to the language like I've been on since I was 8 years of age.
Yeah. So look, before we get into the songs and stuff, give me another couple of good words. So I think the point of the book is it a bit that, like, as you were saying there are words in Irish that can express maybe the heart of the matter a bit better than English sometimes.
I think so. The language has been on this island for an awful long time. It's in the rocks, it's in the trees, it's in the Atlantic, it's in the water, it's in the wind, it's in the rain. And the Irish language is just that it's a magical, mythical, brilliant, expanding, booming language of ours. It's there for everyone, and like we all go back to I wasn't taught Irish well in school, and it depends on the teacher and all that. I fell in love with the spoken language, and I'm an advocate of the spoken language, and I'm an advocate that anyone can pick up Irish. I met a guy in the gym the other day who's been studying it on Duolingo, a guy called Kenny, and for 2 years he's been learning Irish. We stood in the gym the other day and had a full blown conversation, and he's interested in the language and he's gone back to learn it. He's 47 years of age, he's a successful businessman, and now he's almost Bjornach Liafas a Gaeilge. So it shows that anyone can take up Irish at any time, and you don't have to be a swot. You don't have to study it all the time. It's just a love of language and spoken language, and that's what I want to give to people in the book. It doesn't matter what level Irish you have.
It strikes me as well that there might be a poeticism sometimes in the Gaeilge that we don't have in English.
There's a great word,
time.
Brendan, to chwimmel me on galunach. To rub softly in between your hands is the verb to chwimmel. Chwimmel me. May and love come of Van Kayla. Chwimmel, isn't it beautiful? It's almost like when you have soap in your hand and you're just rubbing it gently between the hand. There's four levels of intoxication, as Gaeilge. Four different levels. Merry would be Mairach. Merry. You know that feeling of the day after the wedding? The wedding is in the Falls Hotel in Ennistyme, and then you come out and you have a day off, you have 3 days off work, and it's still the Saturday, and you go down for 2 pints the day after the wedding, and it's called Mairach. You're getting merry. Yeah, you're getting in the groove. Then you go into tipsy, which is Sugach. Sugach.
Yeah.
Vime Sugach Alior on Tronon or Fod watching the rugby. And then you're getting into Ermeshke, which we all know, Brendan.
Yeah.
And then the one which is the beautiful image of a big frame Irish man travelling down the main street after being having the pints, supping gallons of Guinness all day. There's no danger in him, there's no harm in him, but he's swaying left to right, he's moving, and he's on his way home. Whether he stops at the chip or whatever, that is cuíochta, and that is ossified.
Cuíochta.
And that's a word my mother used to always use when we were downtown in Nav and maybe going in on a Saturday to get a bag of chips, and she'd go, look at your man, he's ossified.
Yeah.
And the word in for ossified, os Gaeilge, is cuíochta.
It's great cuíochta. That there's a word for 2 points in, because actually, as we get older, we realise that 2 points in is the sweet spot. It's actually probably the best part of the night. And then we try and hold that spot by having like five more. But anyway.
Isn't it beautiful, the two points in? Yeah. And then perfect. You're happy.
Listen, people would think now listening to you that you were reared by, I don't know, Druids or something. It's all Irish and everything. It was all really only when you were sent to the Gaeltacht that you got into Irish, yeah?
Yeah, and again, my mum sent the three boys off to Rackharn, 10 miles over the road from Navan, towards Atboy. In between Atboy and Trim is the hamlet, the parish of Rackharn. And Rackharn was a place where De Valera, during the Land Commission, offered land to the people and a new start, a new life. And hundreds of families relocated from the west of Ireland and from Connemara, from Kilkeeran and Rossmuck and Littermore and Littermullan. And they came to the green fields and good land of Mead, and that's where I went as an 8-year-old. I stayed in a house called T. Cole and the Forging. I've given a shout out to the three Banantees that were instrumental for me learning a language. That they used 3 weeks in these houses where you have to ask for the Kellogg's cornflakes across the table, Turdum na Kellogia Rurla the Hull, or Sheen Cum and Banya, pass me over the milk. So by the time I was 8 and 9 and 10, I was falling in love with the language indirectly.
So you went down there playing all what? Hector Hogan, is it? And you
Hector
came back.
Hoc-a-gon.
And Hector O'Hockagon was born down there.
That's where I learned my okay. skills. And by the time I was 13 or 14, I was going back to the Gaeltacht for 3 months at a time. I was able to stand in front of the college and teach them a dance, or you become a kinner or a prefect. And I learned an awful lot more about life. When you leave your home for 3 weeks, you learn your self-esteem, your social interaction, your self-confidence. You learn everything about yourself.
Okay.
And I had the Irish language. I was gathering the Irish language, Brendan, which I never knew that would be with me all my career, all my life. The Irish language has given me a key to not only the language and this country and the words of it, but it's also given me the key to travel all over the world for TG Car for 23 years. And that's the language.
Absolutely, yeah. God, it's given you a fantastic life. Okay, so that, that teenage boy, you were also engaged with... the English-speaking culture, because your first choice is Big Country, Blast from the Past there, and Chance. Where does this song bring you back to in your life, Hector?
Oh, jeans, slip-on, black slip-ons, and tartan-coloured check shirts.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a... Do you remember when we had that little bit of a tail at the back of the head? You'd have a little...
The rat tail,
The rat tail, right?
Stuart Adamson.
Brendan, it was a time when Top of the Pops defined us on a Thursday night. And Top of the Pops defined what way we dress, whether it was you were a Cure head, or whether you were a Goth, or whether you were a Depeche Mode head, or you're into that new electronic sound. So by watching Top of the Pops and what bands were happening at the time defined what you were going to write on your bag at school and how you were going to dress. And me and the lads were big into Simple Minds, big into you. To and we were massive into Big Country, and Stuart Adamson and Mark Brzeski and Tony Butler and Bruce Robinson, these boys, and that Scottish rock grinding guitar, Smoke Machines, The Tube on a Friday, that was the songs, and these are the songs. The album was called The Crossing. We all knew how to draw the cover on our school books. We all knew how to draw it on our bag, and it's the same thing now when I hear I hear at a wedding or whatever, it just brings me back. And I've still got a few mates that if they come to the house, we'll throw on The Crossing. It's one of the great albums, and Stuart Adamson was one of the great frontmen.
Hector, you painted a picture there. Let's have a listen to Hector's first choice, Big Country, Chance. Hang on, that's we need that bit.
We could all play imaginary air guitar to that.
Absolutely. And you see, like there's so much in there now, Hector. Like there's the epic melancholy that would become kind of stadium rock, right? But there's also that kind of Celtic thing that you mentioned,
yes.
Simple Minds and U2.
Yes.
And that was like that bit of guitar there could have been played by a guy on a mandolin in a bar.
Yes.
down
at the Willie Clancy
Festival.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There was something, they certainly... they rose through the ranks fairly quickly, and Big Country, it was synonymous. It was almost like Big Country, Simple Minds and U2 at that time were playing on all the bills.
That's like a gig in the Phoenix Park in 1982, the three of them there together,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, and it was just that vibe. And then when you see them on the Tube live, I used to run home on a Friday afternoon. I couldn't wait to put on this mad Channel 4 and to see bands live, where Jules Holland had come out on the top of a warehouse and he'd go, right, let's kick it off, it's Big Country, and then down to a 50 or 100 people, 200 people swaying, and it was brilliant. And the sound, it's the sound of the time. It's 80, it's 86, yeah, it's 85, 84, and it was that music that was, it was U2, Simple Minds, Big Country, and they were phenomenal at the time.
Yeah, and actually U2 is your next choice, and you will know that U2 give a lot of credit to Stuart Adamson, and the Edge has always spoken very fondly of the poor late Stuart Adamson as well. But they were all part of that same kind of movement. But I guess U2 was an even bigger presence for our generation at that stage, wasn't it?
Yeah, we bought a record. I don't know. I think we went across the border. Our trips to Newry, my dad would always drive up to Newry, and we would cross the border and we would go in to W.H. Smith. And I remember buying the U2 album.
Yeah.
I think it was it was an album. It was U2 War, or was it Under a Blood Red Sky on vinyl, to bring home to this Hitachi record player that was in the good room. It was in the good room. The room that was only used at Christmas. But myself and my brother, Freddie and Mark, we used to buy these 7-inch singles in Discland, and it was like U2 7-inches and then U2 12-inches and all the U2 albums. And I suppose I finished school in 86. That album, The Joshua Tree, every time I put on that Joshua Tree, that unbelievable album. But it's a song that I've been playing that I've chosen, that I've always stuck on the headphones when I'm trundling through Ethiopia, southern Ethiopia, in a high-ass van, or whether I'm 39,000 foot in the sky heading to Siberia, or I'm travelling across Arizona, especially in the back of another van. And it makes me feel good, but it's just the pounding bass from Adam when he comes in. It's the Edge, it's the sound of the song when it starts, and it's just that whole vibe that the Bono and the boys were over in California. And to me,
you see,
it
this
just
is it. This was Ireland going into the world, wasn't it? Like this, this is the beginnings as well, I'd say, of your stirrings of there's a big world out there, and Irish people can play a part in it.
Unbelievable world out there.
Yeah.
And I suppose the album called The Joshua Tree, and it's just a simple black cover with that cactus image on it. And it was just that sound of it. I've been using this song in my headphones as my song from my mind wherever I am. It puts me in a good frame of mind. It's a great sound. And anywhere I'm traveling, I throw this on the headphones and I just sit back and I let the lyrics engulf me. And I suppose for tens of thousands of other people who, at the time, millions of people who loved U2, we loved it for certain things. Yes, the big songs were massive hits, but other songs on albums at that time, like The Unforgettable Fire, like I tried to play the chords of The Unforgettable Fire, like everyone had be able to play a little bit of it, but The Joshua Tree was such a great album, but the tune I
picked. Did you and Freddie have a kind of a U2 cottage industry going in Navan as well?
We had a production facility. we had a large scale production facility because Freddie would be allowed to go to Dublin more than I would. So back in the day on O'Connell Bridge, there was a lad there, or maybe two lads selling mixtapes out of a briefcase. They would have a stool and a briefcase, and they would pop up every hour on the hour and sell recordings. Live recordings of U2 at the Winkwork Pop Work Festival, or U2 Live in Belgium, U2 Live in Scandinavia, U2 Live at whatever festival, the Werchter Festival, whatever. And we would buy the mixtape. We would take the mixtape back down to Navan. I would go to the local supermarket and buy 20 blank tapes. And then in the production facility, which was located in our bedroom, we would make mixtapes from the master tape. Then we would go down and photocopy the covers down and then sell them that following week to the lads in St. Pat's. So yes, we were one. Island Records was big at the time. We were massive as well.
Bootleggers.
The bootleggers.
Yeah, and not the Puccin. Okay, here's Hector's second choice, and this is U2 and In God's Country.
Sun.
That's In God's Country, Hector's second church.
Tune.
I haven't listened to that in a while. Ecstatic music, isn't it, Hector? I can imagine you bouncing along in a Land Rover in the Sahara with that flaring.
Brendan, in a Hiace. Or travelling up the Amazon speedboat. Yeah. Or travelling through the outback in Australia. But it's a soundtrack.
You see, joy works anywhere, doesn't it?
It's that doom, 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 doom. And the Edge, he's got about 6,000 different pedals, 6,000 different effects on it. And it's just when they come together. And his lyrics, the lyrics. It's a song of movement. And it's a song for headphones, whether you're at the local GA pitch or whether you're getting your 10K in or whether you're in the gym getting in under the bar on a Sunday morning. It doesn't matter.
Hector, have you managed to pass on any of your music to your young fellas now, or are they like allergic to anything you're into?
It's funny you say that. I had to go down to Limerick the other day. My eldest lad is in second year in college in UL, and he hopped into the car and we're driving back, and I thought he was going to go for one of the local stations or throw on something, and then he goes, "Dad, have you got any Arctic Monkeys on your phone?" I said, "I do." He said, and we threw on the Arctic Monkeys. And to the joy and the pride as we're hurtling back to Galway on the dual carriageway, that my eldest lad is getting into the Arctic Monkeys. And that's a brilliant sound as well. Yeah. We put on the first album. So they're getting a little bit of it. They like their reggae. I must give them that. They hear a lot of reggae.
We come to reggae because I want to talk to you about reggae in Jamaica. The lads get music from their mother's side as well, do they? She's kind of a part of Irish music royalty. You met her at a dance, did you?
I met her met my wife Dipna back in the day at the Oireachtas. We danced the Clare set. Dipna is not an actual member of the Kilfenora Cayley band, but the rest of the family are. The drummer Sean Griffin, Claire Griffin, the concertina player Timmy Collins. They're all my brothers and sisters-in-law. So there's three of them in the Kilfenora.
Okay.
The Rolling Stones of Cayley music. Dipna is a musician. Well, she's a great flute player and tin whistle player, but great dancer. So. When I met her, we danced a Clare
set. So the boys are trad nepo babies, really, aren't they?
When you go down to Clare and you go into their house, it's hurling and it's trad.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now, miles away from trad, but not in another way. Your next choice is something that reminds you of your travels, I think. So am I pronouncing this right? Tinarawen?
Tinarawen.
Yeah, and the song is Clare Achill or Clare Achill?
Clare Achill, I think it's called
Clare
Water Is Life.
Yeah, tell us about this.
This is, I like a lot of different ranges of music, but I also like beats that come in from Northern Sahara and a lot of Indian Bagra music and Bengali music. So I'd have a fair large collection and samples and stuff on my phone. Tinarawen, the only way I describe, they're like a Tuareg. They're like a nomadic Saharan band. They have been travelling the world for years. They look like they should be in the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Their rifts are almost Jimi Hendrix-likes, but it's the sound of the Sahara. I saw them on Jules Holland about 15 years ago or more, 20 years ago for the first time, and then they played on the picnic. As we were leaving the campsite at the picnic years ago when the kids were small, and we were heading in on a Friday afternoon about 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, the sun is shining, we can see something happening at the main stage, and Tinarawen were coming on. And since then, they played the Arts Festival here in Galway last year. They're magnificent. It's the sounds of the Sahara from this amazing band called Tinarawen.
Here we go. That's Tinarawen there, Claire, and that is Hector's third music choice today.
2 points in with them would be good.
Yeah, listen, these are great.
You could bring them to Willie Clan. You could have them playing.
I was going to say that could be a bunch of lads from West Kerry there.
Oh, God, my house, he'll Sancho. Oh, God, my house, Sancho. I say, man, telling you. But you see, the beautiful thing about Shannos, I remember Liam Whaley went to Timbuktu to a festival a long time ago, and he did a documentary on it. Like, when you listen to real good Shannos, Connemara Shannos, Shannos and Irish Shannos, that there is that lilting. It's almost Native American, Native Indian. It's the Shannos
all
singing.
Coming from the universal subconscious, yes. I reckon, Hector.
Yes.
And it's interesting, now, you in your travels as well, like, you connect with all these people who, like, should be wildly different from you and from us and everything, but are people all the same really everywhere, yeah?
Yeah, I met the happiest people that are living on a dollar a day, whether I'm sitting with a tea lady in the streets of Khartoum in the Sudan, or whether we're in Ethiopia or Addis Ababa or in Siberia. What we like to do on the show, and that's, I think, we get our best stuff, Brendan, is when I just sit down with the local people, or we stop the van and we hop out wherever we are, and we just let the programme breathe, and we just sit there and have a chat, and that it's not all it can be spontaneous and beautiful. And when you can say a few words in the local language, which I've always tried to do regarding language, and once you have a little bit of the local language where it's just Conas Atatu or whatever you're saying in Kefahalik, in like the sound of Arabic, like Salam Alaikum, Walikum Salam, Shukran, what a lovely way of saying Gurumahagat, Shukran. Shukran, and it's about shaking hands, and I think we should never lose sight of the fact of how good a good handshake is, and a smile, and empathy, and humility, and that starts a conversation with somebody who doesn't even have your own language, because sometimes you don't need to speak language for people to see that you're a sound person, or that you're a good person, and that you're just there. You know, when we hop out with a camera, it's not easy for people to start talking to us, so I think people get a good vibe off us, and I suppose if we can give off good vibes, Brendan, then isn't that part of why we're on the planet?
No, speaking of good vibes, your next choice is from Jamaica. I know you love Jamaica and you love reggae. I've always wondered, because whenever I'm shot at my kids, I definitely want to make the pilgrimage there. Can you get a real experience in Jamaica? Can you hear the real music still? Is it all very touristy now?
Brendan, we've a series starting next month through the Caribbean, and we did two shows in Cuba, and then dropped down and underneath it to the island of Jamaica, and travelled all the way through the Caribbean for TG Car. So that's on in October. But when you get to Jamaica, you find that the music is in, it wafts out every door, it's on every side street. There are sound systems, there are lads selling books on the corner with a big speaker. Music is everywhere, whether it's the dance hall or it's the reggae, it's the feeling of the island. It's in the DNA of the people, and it's in an incredible, even in the countryside, which is vastly different from Kingston. Once you get out into the countryside, it's mountain and waterfall and river. It's just an amazing place. And I suppose we all grew up with Bob Marley. Everybody knows Bob Marley. The songs of Bob Marley have never been as popular before. Now his grandsons are releasing songs that are going to number one on the Billboard charts and stuff. So Bob Marley's music is ever present, but there are hundreds and hundreds of other acts that were releasing records at the time through Trenchtown Records, and Kingston was like a hotbed, Motown in Chicago, and the music of Trenchtown and all that early stuff with the Scatlights and Israeli vibrations.
They were the show bands of Jamaica, really.
They were the Dickie Rocks and the Big Toms and everything. Yeah, they were churning it out.
Churning it out.
They'd come up with a
and
song
making nothing.
Monday.
And, no
and they'd go down and they'd press their record on a Tuesday, and they'd have it on the wireless on a Wednesday.
Okay, and you've chosen this, which is a classic that everybody will know, and this is totally the sound of Jamaica. Don Penn, No, 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 Hector's fourth choice.
No, no.
Don Penn, No, 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 and that's Hector's fourth choice today. Hector, would there be a word in Irish for that kind of laid back, not quite dub, but that kind of real slow island kind of reggae.
Word,
yeah,
there's a lovely word called Ermahaveen Ho. Ermahaveen Ho, yeah. Which means I'm completely in my element and I'm chilled out. Yeah. And when you're sitting on a beach or you're somewhere in Jamaica, it's just it has to do with the heat. It has to do with the island. It has to do with
the heat and the rest of it. Yeah,
yeah. And Tom Ermahaveen Ho again. It's like that rock steady, that dance hall.
And
it's funny, isn't it? It's a sound that was emigrated, that was taken on the Windrush project when tens of thousands of Jamaicans landed with their briefcases and coming down the stairs of the planes in England and going to the cities like Coventry and Leicester and Birmingham. And from that music of the dance hall that came exported from Jamaica, we got the ska, and then it was Madness and the Specials. So it's an amazing, amazing country, and it's still making unbelievable music.
Okay, absolutely. I look forward to seeing your travails through Jamaica. Okay. Your final song brings us back to the Gaeilge now, and it's connected to Inishman. That's another island, apart from Jamaica, very different from Jamaica, that you have a huge grow for as well, isn't it, Hector?
Like I mentioned in the book, that Irish language is about locations, and we all have locations of things that happen in our lives. And for me, the locations I've been, and it's funny that I've been in many, many locations on TG Carr, but my locations, and I give homage in the book to, I pay respect to Rackarn, a whole chapter to Rackarn, where I learned Irish for the first time. And then almost like where I got my PhD, where I got my Maastricht in Irish, was when I was confident enough to go and leave everything and leave the mainland behind and live in Inishman. And it took about 3 or 4 weeks for people to get to know me and to speak to me. But once I could get into the rhythm and speaking in beautiful Inishman, Connemara Irish on an island off the west coast, I fell in. I was in my element, Fímear Mahaveen Ho. And This next song is about the pub, the people, and with my life on Inishman in 1991 and into 1992, when I spent almost 2 years there, and I got to used to the rhythm of the island. First of all, you have to slow down to the rhythm of the Atlantic, and you realise then that there's no stress. There's no, you have to go with the time. You don't really look at the watch over there. And I made some great friends. And the pub was always open, and I'd pop in for a pint at midday or whatever with a guy called Darragh, and we'd sit there as the light shone in through the thatch pub. There was no police on the island, no Gardaí. There was Honda 50s and donkeys. I was living in a little place called Sunsplash Cottage, we called it, listening to the sounds of the Happy Mondays and the Inspiral Carpets and speaking Irish, Fímear Mahaveen Ho. And one day, Pat John O'Farhart, the Gagnéni Diach Rostorum, he was the Fire and Fish, the postman came at my dole one day, knocked on the door and gave me my dole. And then he said to me, what are you doing later? I said, fwack, which is another great word. When you say fwack, Brendan, it means that's your day, Brendan. When you are not near a studio, you're not near the kid, fwack, I'm doing nothing. He said,
fwack all, you could say. What are you doing later? Fwack all. Says you.
Fwack all. So I said, So I went down to the slip at 4 o'clock that afternoon, and I helped him paint the curragh. And after that, I had the key to the island. And I had spuds in that field. I had monkfish every night. I had lobster, beautiful wild salmon. I was in with the locals, and it was a magical, amazing time. And there's a whole chapter dedicated to the amazing words and amazing turns of phrase that the people have on Inishman. And just for that, like, there's only one word we know. The word for flower in Irish is blah.
Yeah.
And blahana. But there's a word in Inishman that isn't found nowhere else on the planet, never mind in Ireland, and they have a word for flower which is called pouser. Pouser, P-A-B-H-S-U for the R. Pouser. And that pays homage to that little, colourful, beautiful little flower that pops up between the limestone crags, that has come across from the burn into the crags and the limestone land of the three islands. But on Inishman, they call a flower a pouser. And that is found nowhere else in the country. So it's just it was a beautiful island, great island. And this band, the next tune is, I'll never forget, the Johnny Cash of Connemara. They came over on a Friday and they played all weekend in the pub. And his name is John Bug, a tall 6'3" man from Connemara. He's the Johnny Cash of Connemara. And the Connemara people love almost like that Americana Western. When they play the melodeon, they have just a wildness to their music. It's the same wildness they have to the music. Different from County Clare, different from Kerry with the polkas. But Connemara wild. When you get in a good session in a Connemara pub, which I was in many's a time in Inishman, with the Honkery, John Bug and the Honkery. And this song is a song of of a man who is on the streets of London, standing in Clapham Common with empty pockets and a hangover, and he's dreaming of his little boat that he parked a couple of years back in a little beach in Russellville, and it's turned upside down, and he longs for the day to be back with his family and to go out fishing in Russellville and to take his little boat out again, because he's here in London trying to make a few bob with a hangover and an empty pocket waiting for a start.
Hector, people are loving this, loving it. I can see all the text there. And look, people will have got from it as well that the book is not just about words. Like, it is, you will get lovely words out of it and everything, but it's about what Hector's been talking about there, which is the textures of who we are and the stories and the extraordinary life that you've had as well. It's all woven in there. It's a lovely book to be a nice present for somebody. It's called The Irish Words You Should Know. It's published by Gill and it's out now. Hector O'Hockagon, Gormila Margot.
Gormila Margot, Brendan. August Gunnari Lat. Cunningortle the Cud Gaelge. The next time we chat, we'll do it all as Gaelge, Brendan.
Okay, I'll I'll egg over towards that now. So, okay. And Hector will also be appearing at the Drumineer Nina Literary Festival on Saturday, the 12th of October. More information at dnlf.ie. So we'll finish up now on your final music choice. John Beag, August Nahankari, Pokey Full of It's Cligan. It's
Clingantine is a sore
so
head.
So empty pockets and a sore head, is it?
Hop, yeah. Connemara, Sinead Gatiedoch.
Shinted Shalem Balo.